Hey guys, today on Sports Spectrum, one of the more unique conversations that we've had here on the show. We have had both of these people on previously. Today we're going to have them on together. Kent Chevalier is the Pittsburgh Steelers team chaplain. Johnny Shelton is the Baltimore Ravens team chaplain. So we're talking about Ravens and Steelers, hated rivals, coming together to hear about the work that's being done behind the scenes in helping players on the team and other people, coaches as well, come to grow in a relationship with Jesus. So you're going to love this conversation today. Johnny Shelton and Kent Chevalier. Can't wait for you to hear it. We got to record it in person a few weeks ago in Florida. It's a fantastic discussion, and it's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to tell you about our friends at Compassion International. They were the first of what has been a bunch of partners that we've had that we all love with Sports Spectrum. But Compassion was the first to say, we want to be involved with what's going on with Sports Spectrum. So we appreciate them very much. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world, releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. That's what it's about with Compassion. So imagine a child stuck in poverty and you having the opportunity to help release that kid. We're talking about kids from all over the world in these impoverished areas. I got to travel with Compassion International a couple years ago and see the work that's being done on the ground in the Dominican Republic. And I got to tell you, it just assured me even more of why we want to get behind a ministry like Compassion International. It's helping these kids have food, education, medical care, vocational training. Again, it's all done in the name of Jesus. How great is that? Check out compassion.com/sportsspectrum. Compassion.com/sportsspectrum and pray about releasing a child from poverty and sponsoring a child today. It's not often you can put a Baltimore Raven and a Pittsburgh Steeler together in a room to talk about Jesus, but we are doing that today on Sports Spectrum. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers team chaplain, Kent Chevalier. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Jason. Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. And our friend Johnny Shelton from the Baltimore Ravens, their team chaplain. Hi, Johnny.
What's going on, Jace?
How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing great.
This is awesome. I've known both of you guys for a long time. I consider you both dear friends, and yet we've never done a conversation like this, where all three of us are in a room together.
Have you ever done anything like? I mean,
not with other chaplains. I've done individual conversations with many chaplains on all sports, but never where we have a couple together. See, and you don't see Ravens and Steelers giving each other the pound like you guys just did. For those listening, but this is going to be a really cool conversation. Let's start here because I think, from a worldly perspective, even just a fan perspective, you put the Ravens and the Steelers together, I feel like most people would say there's a hatred between these two teams, but that is not the case for certainly between you two. Let's start with you, Kent. Like, there is a competitive, edge, I would say, on both sides that really want to win the games when you guys play. But you guys have a unique bond and friendship too.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only do we share the same barber, but you know.
For those listening, by the way, they're both bald. I'm gray. I'm not bald, but you guys are both bald. But yes,
hey, join the club, man. Just embrace. Anyway,
it's coming.
But no, there's this. When I think of Johnny, there's this incredible moment where we are at what was Heinz Field before it became Acrisure. And there's this photo that one of the photographers, who's become a really good friend, happens to be a follower of Jesus, who took this picture of me and Johnny. And Johnny took the initiative. I was brand new as a chaplain with Athletes in Action. I'm asking Johnny all kinds of questions. How do you do what you do? What's your rhythm? And I'm just trying to learn. And there was this moment where I was dealing with some stuff, and Johnny just, right in that moment, he prayed for me. And the NFL photographer, he captured that moment, and it's one of those pictures that's in my favorites. So when I think of Johnny, and I think of the whole Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, as far as chaplains go, he's a guy that I go to. We're on text threads together. He's always encouraging the chaplains across the league, and it's almost like your voice into that brotherhood is so loud, and I've come to appreciate it over the years. Just being a newer guy, he's further along than me, so I ask him a ton of questions, and I've learned a lot from Johnny.
So. Johnny, you hear the Pittsburgh Steelers chaplains on line one for you to talk to. You're not running away from that per se because it's the Steelers, but you meet Kent, and this is an opportunity for you to pour into him as well.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Yeah, what I've learned, I've been in sports ministry chaplaincy for over two decades and 11 on the NFL level. And what I've learned in chaplaincy is that we need one another. So now if you would ask me this 25 years ago, totally different response. Mm-hmm. But the rivalry within itself is a very, very intense rivalry. Coming in 2013, my first season, Steelers week, it was a different mode. It was a different level of practice because it was Steelers week. And so when you have different guys based on where they are spiritually and how much they are applying to their life, it actually will help them during Steelers week in terms of staying even keel. The level of spiritual maturity that they have. But it's a very intense rivalry. But to just piggyback on what Kent said, when I first met him, as a chaplain and understanding that he was from Pittsburgh and he grew up a Steelers fan, I'm thinking to myself, I said, how cool would that be? I came to Baltimore. He grew up in Baltimore. And so to see him being able to minister to his childhood team, I felt really good for him. And so I wanted to help him out even more so and encourage him as he came on board.
Before we jump to the sort of next stage of the conversation, I want to go back because you said 25 years ago, your response might have been different. What did you mean by that?
I mean, just knowing where I was spiritually and how you look at the game of football, because football itself, a great game as it is, it's an even more terrible God. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, when I was coming and I was playing football myself, hate was a good word for it.
Yeah.
Just like the fans actually see it, that you get so caught up in that game. And so that's what I meant by it being a different answer.
Yeah, from a worldly perspective, I mean, even just when we put this out, people are going to say Ravens and Steelers, like, that's not possible. When you think about the game of football, Kent, you've been in this a little bit shorter time than Johnny, but what have you seen from a chaplain perspective to be able to say, yeah, I'm going to lock arms with a guy like Johnny, and yes, there is a rivalry. Yes, there is a battle coming up between these two teams a couple times a year that we want to win, but let's lock arms here and let's really push forth in the idea of what you guys are all about, which is helping guys walk with the Lord.
Yeah, and I there's so much respect that I see, on any given week between NFL teams. When it comes to Ravens week, it is very different. It's AFC North smash mouth football, and there is a different focus. Guys are locked in differently. So I absolutely agree. What I do know is that when guys might be traded or free agents and they come from the Ravens, there's a I don't know if I can trust this guy yet, But then there is this brotherhood that is much bigger than the fan base rivalries that are out there. And as far as chaplaincy goes, the chaplaincy brotherhood, what I see Johnny doing, and I see him posting on social media what his theme for the year is and things like that, I'm just going, man, that it's much bigger than a rivalry. It is much bigger than the game of football. If we make football the foundation of our lives when guys are done playing, what do they have left? So it's got to be deeper. It's got to be bigger than the game of football. And it's got to, when guys get to this highest level and we're have the opportunity to walk alongside of them, you just never know if one of your guys is going to end up in Johnny's chapels. in one of Johnny's Bible studies. And we got to be on the same page as a brotherhood to say, you know what, we're all in this journey together, locking arms in discipleship, in leading people to Jesus, not a particular person, and keeping our eyes focused on Jesus alone. I know that's what he's about. He knows that's what I'm about. And so we journey on that together in the NFL chaplaincy brotherhood.
Johnny, when you think about that picture of meeting me at the 50, Kent and I talked about this idea of deflecting the glory. We had a conversation, you know, probably 6 months ago or whatever. And I just think about this beautiful picture of what you guys are describing is at the end of the game. When there's a meet me at the 50 moment, and you and Kent and whoever wants to join from the Ravens and the Steelers come together and pray. What does that moment mean to you? Because to me, it feels like that's the gospel. Like, you can have two teams that wanted to kill each other on the field come together afterwards, give praise, give thanks, and you guys are locking arms with those guys.
It's one of my favorite times. You know, the game is the game, but after the game is over, win, lose, or draw, that's what we are encouraging these guys to come and to join with our competitors, our opponents, if you will, to just come in together in harmony and just praise God for the opportunity to play that game that he's gifted them to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I get fired up the most about. Mm-hmm. So we can lock arms with these guys that we just went to battle with on the field, and whether we won or lost, we're going to give praise to God. I love that moment.
What about you, Kent?
Yeah, because you're uniting under a banner of Christ in that moment. When guys, my favorite moment is holding Johnny's hand, looking at the guys that we have the privilege to walk alongside and serve in this chaplaincy. And I love especially giving that moment away as an opportunity for discipleship. So you have your spiritual leaders that you're walking alongside and trying to raise up and saying, okay, Alex, you got it. Mm-hmm. And so what that does is, for Alex, in that moment, he gets to lead spiritually in this moment of humility before the Lord amongst his brothers under the banner of Christ. And it doesn't get more beautiful than that to me. So deflect that glory right back to God where it belongs. We've talked about this in a previous podcast, but those guys, none of us, we are not built for that kind of fame, for that kind of glory. People screaming their names. So let's get on our knees. Let's bow before our Creator, and let's give that honor right back to God where it belongs. And I love being able to do that with a guy like Johnny twice a year, man.
Yeah. But let's just be real about it, though, also. There, in that moment, Jason, and Kent can attest to this, there are great opportunities because there are players who love the Lord. And let's say we lost the game. We don't see them in the circle.
They don't want to join.
Yeah. What happened to you in the circle? So that gives us an opportunity to go, not right after the game or maybe that following week, to where it will come up. Because our chapels is on a Sunday, is on game day. And right before chapel, every chapel, I say to guys, meet me at the 50. Win, lose, or draw. Let's give glory to God to be able to play this game. And sure enough, you'll have one or two. If you've lost, they're nowhere around. But the next week we win, they're there. So it's like a great opportunity to be able to minister to that particular player, man. And so it's a great opportunity.
Well, you're leading me, Johnny Shelton, into the next conversation, because anybody who watches football, the Ravens were the best team in the NFL this year, all the way up until that last game, and then the AFC Championship happens, and obviously we won't go into the details, but it didn't end the way that Ravens fans or players or anybody on the Ravens staff would have wanted. So in those moments, because we hear a lot of guys say, win, lose, that does not determine my worth. My identity is I talked to a lot of guys Super Bowl week from the Niners and the Chiefs who both said, win, lose, or draw, that does not define who I am. But then you lose. And so you're really put to the test. Tell me what it's like as a chaplain to walk with these guys who played their hearts out, had such a fantastic season, but it ends in a loss.
Yeah.
And how you, in the unique position, and Kent will have you answer too, mm-hmm. as a chaplain are to minister in those moments when things aren't the best?
Oh, man, listen. That loss in the AFC Championship game was by far, me as a chaplain, was the hardest time for me personally, not because we lost, but because I'm in the locker room and I'm seeing guys who are devastated. They're hurting, tears. It was just crazy. It was really hard for me, but it was also good for me because God was able to minister to me at that moment, because you feel so bad for these guys. They put the work in. You've seen them do all of these things. And then that come. But also the opportunity to minister to that very thing in terms of loss. It's not about it. Before that game, I always stand in the tunnel at the end of the tunnel where the players come out, and I encourage them, whatever the player is, individually, I will pray for some and whatever it is. We have a new guy that came to our team. He's a believer. His name is Josh Wells, offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He comes out, he's walking, and he says, let's just enjoy the game because the outcome has already been determined. Mm. And he said that. And when he said that, it brought about a calm. And for me as the chaplain and for the players that was around him that heard that, it just brought about this calmness. But, man, the loss was devastating, though, to say the least. It was, yeah, the game's already determined, but it was very devastating, man, to lose that game in a lot of our players' eyes, and it just gave that much opportunity to minister. I literally had to go to players' apartments that following week. Days after the game.
Wow.
Just to get them, let's get up. Let's turn the page.
Yeah.
Let's get moving.
Wow. Kent, how about you? I mean, you've been through some situations where some great wins and then even some losses in the playoffs where guys are just distraught, and you got this very unique role that you have to play as a chaplain.
Yeah. I think it's almost like we could be describing any loss in this performance-based business, right? And so when a guy does not have a good game, even if they win and he doesn't have a good game, that's a loss for him because there's pressure coming behind him for position, you know, that kind of thing. But if you watch the team get devastated and you're trying to, in that moment, I'm praying, God, what would you want me to say? Because Coach T, in my particular instance, he always has me pray. Once everybody is off of that field, once they're signing the, you know, jerseys, trading, that kind of stuff, everybody's in, okay, grab a knee, grab a hand, and we're praying in that moment. God, okay, I'm communicating to you, but I'm also ministering in that moment. And after a loss, nobody wants to pray in that moment. So I think in those moments of loss, like you said, it's like days after. It's going, okay, God, who are the guys that it's almost like you become a mental performance coach with them.
Yeah.
Okay, it's okay to grieve that loss. It's okay to be there for just a little bit. Now you got to pull yourself out. And we pull out with hope. We pull out with your identity is not in that loss. It's not in that statistic. It's in who God says you are. But that's days after that loss. I'm not doing that right as they, you know, are entering the locker room after, you know, a tough loss like that.
And ministry of presence is the deal with that, because there's times where a player would just see me.
Yep.
I don't say a word to them, but the fact that representing Christ, they can see us, and it will bring to their mind something that we're able to minister them about. They may even know we're going to be talking to them about, let's get on to the next one. Yeah. But it brings them that solace to be able to say, okay, it's time to move. It's time to move on.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because across from the locker room, you can meet eyes with a guy, and he just goes, yep, I know. I'll get there. It's like, let me have this for a second. Let me be mad, you know, for a second, but tomorrow I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen a moment where a guy has you've been working with them all year. And then obviously, if you don't win the Super Bowl, every loss, every season ends in a devastating loss per se, right? Because whether it's regular season or NFC or AFC championship game or Super Bowl like the Niners this year, it's the finality of going through 4, 5, 6 months, even longer when you go back all the way to OTAs and minicamp, of putting this all together for one common goal, and then it's done. And then it's turn the page, new season, new teammates. Some are back, some are different. Have you guys seen, though, because you really only get 6 months to really pour into one specific team. Maybe it's less. And then it's like turning the pages to the next year. The discipleship aspect of these guys who've taken difficult losses, but you've seen like a maturity and like a growth, even though maybe they're still sad that they lost, maybe even distraught to go further. And yet you also see some maturity in their walk with Christ. Kent, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go right to Minkah Fitzpatrick this year, right? So we were just out in Vegas, and we watched him receive the Bart Starr Award. And yeah, in his acceptance speech, this was by far in his football career the roughest season that he's ever had personally. Injuries, disappointment of just how the season ended. And he would say that it was his greatest year of growth, spiritually speaking. And I have been saying of Minkah, because he was injured a lot. I mean, he hit horrible injury season. Yeah. And he was able to find his spiritual voice. He started leading differently. He even said in that speech, "I used to be a man that would just lead by example, and now he's leading by example and his words." And so to see something like that, it drew, you know, from that adversity that he was facing, it brought about that spiritual language for him to be able to use to lead the men who are in the lockers beside him. And as he said himself, like, they're getting the best version of me now, not just a half version of example. They're getting my words and my example. So Minkah is a great example of that.
Yeah. How about for you, Johnny?
Oh, same thing, man. It's nothing better than seeing a young man get it. Mm-hmm. Like when they understand that their identity is not in this sport that they love, to see them go from week one really upset about not playing or being on the practice squad or being demoted to the practice squad, those type of things, those performance type things, or even coming out of week one where they didn't play as many reps as they wanted to play, and then come to the end of the mid to the end of the season where they've grown spiritually because they've been attending Bible studies. They've been coming to discipleship, coming into the office every week, you know, pouring into them, you know, to the Word of God. And to see them come at the end of the season and say that this thing is not about me, it's not about my playing time, it's not about none of that, man, that's is nothing better than that as a chaplain.
Yeah, that's beautiful to hear. And you see some of that fruit, if you will, publicly, when guys might win an award like Minkah, or even watching Lamar win the MVP, and first and foremost, giving all praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't know why I'm asking you guys this, but maybe you're the perfect people to ask that. How important is it for the guys that you minister to encourage them at the level that they're comfortable with, to be outspoken and to be bold, and not just to say all praise to the man above, which is fine, but when you're giving praise to Jesus, there's something about that name that can get people a little uncomfortable, but it's also, that's the name above all names. Is that something, Kent, you've seen?
Yeah, it's a part of that deflect the glory, right? It's he's the only one who's worthy of that. And so what a discipleship process, just like if it's Minkah or Alex Highsmith, who has, you know, been on, and he's very public with that. The thing that is the discipleship process is, if you're going to say that, if you're going to go that public, then brother, you will have a target on your back.
Yes.
And you better be ready to be living that message, to walk worthy of the calling that you have received, which was our theme this year in the Steelers, is that, hey, that name carries some weight. And so if you use that name publicly, then you better be walking that name publicly in your marriage, in your relationships, outside of that practice facility, on the field. You just better be ready for that. And that's a part of that discipleship process that we got to get guys. You can't just slap that on there,
right?
We got to live that out. So that's a part of the conversation that, oh, you just did that.
Yeah.
I love that, man. So let's have the conversation. Let's keep it going.
Right, because it's one thing to just say it. I think in some cases, guys, Johnny can just default to that and thanking God. But when you bring the name of Jesus in or when you put that out publicly, now, like Ken said, a target comes at you. But it's also a way for you to kind of to have a door open for you guys as chaplains to say, okay, let's keep going here.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it reminds me, one of the things I do as a chaplain, when we get guys in the door the first time, I look for certain physical things that I can look, like a tattoo, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, guys are they have a scripture tattooed on their arm, and or they'll be wearing a cross necklace or things like that. Those are the things that I pay attention to, and that is a conversation piece for me. I'm listening for guys who say something like, man, I'm blessed to be here, or those type of things. Those are conversation starters. So along with what Kent said about them glorifying God, I make sure that I get across to them, if you are going to say Jesus, even though that's what we want to do, you have to make sure that you're living that out.
That's right.
Don't just say it as a habit or something because everybody else is saying it.
And to that point, Johnny, like I'll never forget my first season, 2019, where I saw all of these guys flood as they were, you know, introduced, the Steelers, and they run down to the end zone and they kneel to pray. And I'm going, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
There's so many guys that are going to become Bible study and all this stuff. And then I didn't see him. I'm like, okay. But it was great conversation starters, right?
It definitely is.
And I asked this question, and I'm not going to say the name, but hey, when you go to the end zone, like I don't see you in Bible study. I don't see you in chapel. You don't ever talk to me, you know, this kind of thing. When you go down there and you kneel and you pray, like, what are you doing? It was just a great conversation. And I said, who are you praying to? Just to get that spiritual conversation going. And here's what he said. My grandma. So praying to his grandma. So we can't assume, like, if fans are listening to this right now, that, oh, we, you know, we put out all these guys are in the end zone and they're following Jesus and all this
stuff. The optics are good.
Yeah, the optics are great. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're following Christ, that they have God as their Lord, so to speak. Because we got guys who are praying to grandma. Now, okay, do your thing, but we've got to, as Johnny and I, decipher and have those conversations. And it's brilliant, those types of conversations.
Yeah. Jason, that's why we're there.
Yeah.
That's what the greatest thing about the ministry of presence, being able to be there to see those things. Yeah. The public don't see all of the things that goes on and how the players actually see us chaplains. Like for some of us, for some of them, we are a rabbit's foot, like a lucky charm. You know, yeah. Hey, chap, can I get this prayer? You know, what am I praying? I haven't seen you in Bible study or What do you want the prayer to be about?
Yeah.
You know,
but you have to pray, like you're kind of called to do that with
but
them,
it's,
right?
No, it's a great opportunity. Right. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant by that's what we later we follow up on those type of things, which give it's just a tremendous opportunity.
And
man,
so much of it is literally just building relationships, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the most important thing for both of you guys is to just be there to build relationships.
Yeah. And so prior to this, I was a pastor in the Pittsburgh area for 20-some years. And the difference of chaplaincy that I love is that being able to – so as a pastor, people would come polished, smiling. Hey, they're coming to church, right? They actually want to be there. Well, we are at their, you know, place of work. We get to see every little like nuance of how they interact, and we're with them all the time. So when you see a opportunity where a you just said Jesus, I praise Jesus, and now you are doing this, it is an opportunity, because you have the relationship with them, to call them up to the standard of Christ and say, hey, brother, you were just leading in Bible study, and now you're saying and doing and, you know, and this kind of thing. Let's talk about what that means as far as representing Christ. When you were out on that, you know, practice field, and I happened to be there and overheard it, like, let's go. And not in a judgmental way. No way. I would never, you know, do that. But it's a, hey, Christ has a standard here, and you're claiming Christ, so let's go. But also just wonderful conversations I remember having on the sideline, like just questions about spiritual things. And who are they going to ask? Well, I'm going to come to the chap and see what I can, you know, figure out here.
And that does come through relationships. Like you said, we're building relationships, man, to where we know so much about these players. Mm-hmm. We know what make them tick. We know what makes them angry. We know a lot of things about them. We know about their families. We know about grandma that he's praying to. Mm-hmm. We know all of these things, man, and that's what makes, when it comes down to the games, and we're talking about whether you're winning or losing, we know what they've been through, and we want them to feel success. Mm-hmm. And so if they feel success more by winning a football game, we're behind them, but mind you, we're there to teach them the difference. Mm-hmm. Versus winning a football game or winning in life, because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm. This has been a great conversation. I think as we kind of close here and wind down, I'd like to get from both of you what the Lord has been kind of burdening on your spirit lately. And that could be in relation to your job and to your vocation or what you do as chaplains, or it could just be something else that God has kind of been placed on your heart. But I'm going to start with you, Johnny. What's the Lord been kind of impressing on your heart, and what's been burdening a little bit inside of that spirit of yours?
Man, it's been sudden change, if I can use it in two words. And so when we lost that game, just like any other game, I mean, I've just finished season 11. This time, again, was different, as I alluded to earlier, but what God has put on my heart is that this game is so parallel to life. So parallel to life. And we can learn so much from this game. Sudden change. I mean, we're here today, going tomorrow. And just like everybody else, we don't know when the last day is. So what God has put on my heart is just the brevity of life, man. Just like, what are we here for? What are we actually doing? And so I've been calling players, texting players, prayers, scriptures. I've been texting family. Man, it's just been on my heart about, okay, what are we really doing? Mm. At the end of the day, what are we doing? And so sudden change. What happens when you have a sudden change? When you get a bad doctor's report, to where your world just turns upside down. We have a staff person who just, wife was diagnosed with cancer, you know, sudden change. So that's what God's been putting on my heart here lately, and just make me want to just intercede even more for people to just really understand that we need to live a life that's worth something, that has meaning, that has purpose. And we have to understand that, because things are going to change. What are we standing for? Yeah. Who are we standing for? That's what's been on my heart here lately.
That's powerful stuff there. Kent, I'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, at the Steelers organization, and I think even just in life, one of the things that God has been really impressing upon me within our culture, the idea that people have this view of God, have this view of Christians, that is, it's not a good taste in their mouth. And so one of the goals that I have is that I hope that I can represent Jesus in that Steelers context as a guest in that building, and that when people interact with Erica and me, that they would say something along this line, not out of because they look at us, but because of the presence of Jesus that we bring into that place, something along the lines of, well, if that's what God's like, then okay, let me lean in a little bit.
I want some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's not so that Erica and I get liked. It's not about that. It's so that we can enhance the reputation of Jesus in the eyes of everybody that we interact with. Because I want people to know the real Jesus, not some version that has been portrayed and twisted and, you know, how our culture represents that and how, you know, just recently this whole idea of how sometimes we can fight in the Christian subculture and that people want nothing to do with us as a result. And so I think our jobs in the NFL is, man, I just want to represent Jesus and get people to really interact with the Jesus of the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Johnny's word for it. Take God's word for it of what it is that God actually said about himself. Mm. What are the very words of Jesus that we need to study? Not some pastor's interpretation of those words. Man, get your nose into the scripture so that you can see that grace and truth exists in this person and he loves you deeply.
Wow.
That's what I hope.
I like how you say represent as opposed to represent.
Yeah, no.
Because it's the same thing.
Correct.
But the way you word it, when you say represent, it's a little twist on how we can carry, it's a posture.
Yeah.
I feel like when I think about how I can, you know, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. Well, that's representing him to somebody else in the way that he's impacted our life. That's right. Powerful.
Yeah.
This was awesome. Ken, we made it, right? There was no fisticuffs.
We did it. We did
no hatred.
We got through it.
We got Ravens. We got Steelers. Everybody's happy. We're okay. We did it.
No. We got to get Vinny Ray up in here, man.
Oh, it was fun.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Cincinnati.
Let's get the guy from Cleveland. Yeah. You know, let's get everybody. Might as well
AFC North, man.
AFC
let's
North.
Go.
I don't know if we can make it with four in here.
Gotcha.
There could be some dissension, I'll just say. But I appreciate you guys really, in all honesty. And Johnny Shelton, Ken Chevalier, you're both amazing guys. I'm proud to know you, and I appreciate you both joining us on the podcast.
Same here.
Thanks for having us, man.
Appreciate it.
And many thanks to Kent Chevalier from the Pittsburgh Steelers, their team chaplain, and Johnny Shelton from the Baltimore Ravens, their team chaplain. That was a lot of fun putting those two together. I don't know. I just had an idea. You know, when I saw that we were all going to be at the same conference, I'm like, what if we put Johnny and Kent, two guys who I consider to be personal friends of mine, but also great men in the NFL, really living out their faith and helping others grow closer to Jesus. Let's put them together and let's have a conversation. And I thought it was really great. So I hope you guys enjoyed a little peek behind the curtain on what's going on inside the Ravens and the Steelers and really the NFL. And a lot of fun there with Johnny and Kent. So we appreciate them joining us here today on the show. You can check out our website, sportsspectrum.com, for all of our content. We have articles and devotionals and podcasts. Great testimonials, lots of video content. It's all available at the website, sportsspectrum.com. And of course, whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, whether you're watching the podcast on Spotify, maybe click that follow button or subscribe button on Spotify. Maybe it's Apple Podcasts where you listen. Maybe you're on Amazon. Maybe you're on iHeartMedia. Wherever it is, click that follow, that subscribe button so that you don't miss any more episodes. And by the way, we're also on YouTube now, YouTube Music, and of course the main YouTube channel. So subscribe to our channel. You can watch the podcast and listen to the podcast there as well. But either way, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Maybe tell someone about Sports Spectrum. Let them know that we exist, that the intersection of sports and faith is possible in the media, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. We love you guys. We'll see you next time with another episode here on Sports Spectrum. I hope you have a great rest of your day.